Welcome back to the Average to Savage Show with Scaletti, a podcast that will help you overcome your limiting beliefs, setbacks, and fears to create the life you were destined to live.
Welcome back, everybody. I have a very special guest with me coming from Houston, Texas. This is Taylor Ahrens. And she has a master's of science in athletic administration and a bachelor's of science in broadcast journalism. She is a former five-time NFL cheerleader and NFL Pro Bowl cheerleader. Taylor is a sports reporter and host for the TexasHighSchoolFootball.com, which is TexasHSFootball.com, as well as baseball and softball play-by-play commentator and Showstoppers dance competition MC. I'm not done yet. There's more. She has her own podcast called Sideline Attraction, which we will get into later, and also a Hot Works virtual instructor, as well as teaches spin and yoga, and is an avid runner and has completed her 4 marathons total. Her most recent one was just last weekend. I can't wait to chat, Taylor. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to get to talk to you. I feel like we're so similar. So I'm finally excited to be on here.
Me too. I'm like thinking there's 37,000 different places we can start, but let's just start at the beginning. We kind of talked about it offline, but can you give listeners a little background of, did you always love, clearly football has been in your life for a while. And did you grow up loving football? Like, what was the upbringing like for Taylor?
Yeah, so I grew up in a big sports family. My family loved sports, so I was always a sports girl. And I grew up a dancer, and it was always my dream to be a dancer in the NFL for a profession in the professional league. And it was probably unconventional because most people wanted to be like on Broadway or to make it to LA and stuff like that. But I grew up in a sports family, so I was like, I love sports, and I had a brother that played football and basketball, so I was always at his games, and my family were big Cowboys fans, so we grew up just talking about sports, and that's really how I fell into it.
So you loved sports from the get-go. Let's get into, because I think this was fascinating, we were talking about this offline. In middle school, as you were growing up, you mentioned that you come off to me now, and I'm sure people viewing this would agree, as extremely confident. You put your words together well. It's just impressive to see. And it sounds like you were not always that way. Is that fair to say?
Oh, that's totally fair to say. When I was like around middle school, I was very self-conscious. I knew I was good at what I did, but I didn't really believe in myself. And then I think something happened along maybe more towards eighth grade. I realized that all my hard work I was putting into, and then I started receiving awards for how good I was doing in school and dance. And I think it just really clicked that, like, okay, I am great at what I do. I need to start believing in myself, because if you believe in yourself, anything can happen. You have to be your own cheerleader in order to succeed in life. And I think something just really clicked. And then once I got into high school, I was a go-getter. I actually started modeling in high school for a dancewear company. And I ended up transitioning to online school my sophomore year, because this company was based in St. Louis. So I just really prioritized my work and my dance and my modeling. And then I just believed in myself, and it really went a long way. And like we said before this, I can always work on my confidence. So it's something I always want to be better at. And it's always something that I think I can improve.
Yeah, I love that. And I agree that we can all be improving in any area, but definitely confidence. And it sounds like from middle school to high school, that was like two different human beings. I mean, and it seems like, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it sounds like your work ethic is what you feel drove the increase in confidence. Is that fair to say?
Totally. I think once I started believing in myself, and then I just was out working, and then that's really when I started to get really recognized for all my things I was doing, because it was getting like acknowledged, and people are like, wow, like she is really good at what she did. Like I was always like okay when I was growing up because I didn't really take it that seriously. But once I really put my heart and soul into everything I was doing, that was a big difference. And just the confidence was a game changer.
And it's when you're saying good at what you do, especially in high school and then beyond, was dance the main piece of you knew this is what I'm really good at least in that moment? It was it dance was the big love?
Dancing, yes. It was my life. I did it literally before, after school. I went to online school, so I was doing it a lot. But then I just realized I loved dance, but then that kind of transitioned me to realizing that I just love the performance aspect. I love being in front of a crowd. I love just being able to be on a stage and just shine and be able to connect to others. I think that's what it really was, the performance aspect. And I learned that even more when I transitioned into college.
That's really impressive self-awareness right there, that you were able to reverse engineer what you loved about. It wasn't necessarily just the dance. It was, I don't know if it's like you look at the faces of the people in the crowd and you see the smiles. And is it about that? But I love how you reverse engineered what you loved and then you went all in on that. That's impressive.
It was just that I loved silencing a crowd. That was my favorite thing to do at like the end of a performance. Like no one would cheer at the end and probably until like a couple seconds later, because just like I was able to like silence the crowd. And I would always stare at the judges and I would always like to stare in their eyes. It's part of the performing aspect. So I did learn that. Yeah.
You're a badass. You would just, I mean, I feel like most people would go in there and be like, don't look at the judges. Don't look at the judges. And Taylor's like, lasered in.
Laser focused in their eyes. And now I am a host for the dance competitions that I used to compete at. So it's funny being on the other side of it now, because I knew what it was like being in their position.
Oh, so now you're a judge for the shows that you used to be on.
So I am not a judge, I'm a host. So I could be a judge, yeah. But I decided I wanted to do more of the hosting aspect because of my broadcasting background. And I still get to be with the judges. So it's me and the rest of the judges are on the panel. But it's still a full circle moment.
Okay, that's so full circle. And I have to ask you, do you ever sit there and look, and when somebody is performing, are you like, I'd look at the judges more right now if I were them? Or like, do you find yourself thinking about what you would have done when you were competing?
Totally. There's moments that I wish that when I was competing, I didn't take it too seriously, because I was like, I took this so seriously, but it's not really the life or death situation. But those dancers, if you don't know what a dance world is like, it is crazy. It's definitely a competitive industry.
I've heard, I mean, I guess you think dance and the first thing you think is, oh, that's fun. But I've heard it's ultra competitive. And I mean, yeah. I don't even know, and I'm sure the listeners and viewers don't know either. How do you go from there to becoming an NFL cheerleader? Like, can you run us through what your life was like as that transitioned? And I got to hear about the point where if it was a phone call or an email from the NFL team, like, can you walk us through how that all played out?
Oh, absolutely. So I finished high school early. I did it in December. So then I decided on a whim to like move to LA. I had a dance agency. And so I was there for basically like a semester just dancing out in LA. I lived in an Airbnb. And then once my lease was up, I moved to Houston. And I was always in my mind that I wanted to be an NFL cheerleader. So Texans auditions were that week that I moved back from from California to Houston. And my mom was like, you should just try out. Why not? Just go for it. And I was like, okay. My year was really a good year to try out for, because there was only, I want to say, like 6 or 7 veterans returning, which is a huge turnover. Usually you only get a couple people retiring and there's only maybe 5-10 spots open. This opened up a big window. And then there's about, I want to say, 500 people auditioning. And then you just go round after round after round. And then I finally made it to like the training camp round. And that was a 2-week period of just kind of a mock of practices of what would go down, how practices would go weekly. And then that final day, they did it for my rookie season. They do it differently now, but my rookie season, they live streamed the announcing of the team. So they had 50 girls in the finals and they only took like 35 and they live streamed it. So I was like, either way, people are going to know if I make it or not. So I was fortunate enough to make it the first time, and the first time that I auditioned for the Texans, it was a magical moment. Like, not many people get to say they auditioned once and made the team. And I was young too. So I think I was 18 years old, which is like the minimum age you have to be. You have to be 18 years old when you audition for a professional team. So I was just at the right place, right time. And they always say that because it's very, there's a lot more stuff that goes into it, not just for professional dance, but any kind of dance industry. Maybe they're looking for a certain look. Maybe they need a height certain year. Like, it, you could be the best dancer out of everyone and not make it because of maybe something. And that I just happened to be in the best position. And I stayed with them for 4 years, and I stayed in Houston for 4 years. So it was just amazing and very stressful, but it was all worth it.
Okay, I got to ask you so many. I mean, I can ask you so many things about this. As the tryouts are going on, mm-hmm. are you showing up every day and thinking, I'm the best one on this team? Like, what's your mindset when you show up? And is it I want to be the best tailor I can be? Or is it, oh, that girl over there, I need to beat her out? Like, how did you come into it every day? And were you confident you were going to be on the team?
So for me, I was only going in as my best. I didn't really know what to expect because I did kind of audition on a whim. And I will say the more traditional way, people had gone to prep classes and they dedicated their whole like year to audition for this. And I just happened to like audition. And my confidence was up there because I knew that was all my years of dance, for starting from when I was like 3 years old to I was 18. I prepared for this moment. So I went into it. I've always been this way. I can only be my best version of myself. And it doesn't really matter what people are doing around you, because you can only control what you can control. And I was only going to put all my energy and leave everything I had out there. And that was my mindset going into it. And then once I made the team, it's a little bit different because it is a team sport and you want to be able to kind of blend in with everyone. You want to be in unison, but you also want to just have those little moments that'll make you shine a little bit, just like, I don't know, a facial expression or just something, but you have to be more in unison. But it's really special and unique for the tryout process that you get to really shine out there and be as big and bold as you like to.
I love it. All right, one more question about it. Take us to game one of you being look at you. I can just see it in your eyes. Like, take us to game one. I mean, I'm getting goosebumps just bringing it up. Like, what was it like? Did it go well? Did you have like a slip? Like, what happened the first game?
Game. Oh my gosh. The first game, there is like no words to describe that feeling when you first walk out on the field and your uniform and you made it. Like, it's, and I remember my first performance was actually junior cheer, which is when they bring in all the little girls. They sign up for junior cheer. There's probably about 200 little girls, and we perform a little pregame routine. So that was really special that I was able to do my first performance with young, aspiring cheerleaders that were looking up to us and idolizing us. And I was like, this is amazing. Like, we went on the field with them, we danced. And I remember my first game, I didn't mess up, or not that I know of. But I remember that feeling in the tunnel. I was so nervous and excited, and I just had all the emotions, but that moment in the tunnel. And then we did our first routine. And then right after we do our routine, we go out and they do player intro. And that's when all the players run out, and that was electric. But the most beautiful moment was the national anthem, because that's like really a moment you can just like stand there and just really absorb the whole stadium and look around. And it just brought tears to my eyes because I was like, this is incredible. I am cheering for the Houston Texans. I've worked so hard for this. And it was just one of those moments that you really got to soak it all in, because all the other times in the game, you're like going a million miles a minute.
I love that. And there's something, maybe because I'm patriotic, but when the national anthem comes on, I don't know. There's just something about thinking about our lives and the history of the country and all that rolling into one. I love that that was the moment. And you whatever it is, 2 or 3 minutes you had just for you to be like, let's take it in. That's a special moment right there.
It was every national anthem, every game I went to was, I loved, like you, I'm very patriotic. I have a lot of people in my family that were in the military. So it was always so special to just be there and stand and absorb everything for the national anthem. It was always the most beautiful moment of the games.
I love it. And please thank all of your family members for their service as well.
Thank you. I will.
Yeah, I love that. Okay. So and we'll transition into what's been going on since then, but it seems like a theme that I've gathered just from the quick conversation we've had is you attack your passions and what you love. And I often see people, maybe you do as well, that are on autopilot. They're doing the same thing day in and day out, a job they don't like, career they've hated for 30 years sometimes. How do you get the guts to stand up for you and go after what you want in a world full of distractions and people who don't do that?
Yes, I think you have to have a lot of self-discipline. And also, I know it's scary to follow your passion, but I think if you have a passion for something and you put your full heart and soul into it, you're going to be successful if you have a passion for something. You can't force something. And if you're in a position where you don't like where you are, and it's just very hard to get to work every day or school or whatever you're studying, it's something you can't force on yourself as passion. So I just think putting yourself out there, that's what I've always done. Like, I will put myself out there. I will try something at least once, because you never know until you try. So, I mean, you can tell my resume is all over the place because I have learned so many things that I love. And I'm like, why limit myself to one thing when I can do a lot? I've been able to do a lot of part-time and freelancing. So that's why I'm able to do so much. And I just have so many passions and I'm able to time manage them all out because I have so many different passions. But I really think if you put yourself out there, and even if you fail, get back up and just use that as redirection or a learning experience. There's no such thing as failing, because you can always learn from it unless you take it like to heart and then you dwell on it. So don't dwell on those failures. Get yourself back up and learn it as redirection and just go for something. And if you really want to do something and you're told no and it's your passion, go for it. Keep going for it until you do it. That's big, that you just never give up on your dreams.
I love this. I love how you said failure does not exist. One of the things I say all the time is failure is fiction, because I don't think, I'm with you, I don't think it exists either. And you also said something, we mentioned it before we started recording, I definitely want to get into this, and you just mentioned it about getting said no. And you continuously, can you tell the listeners and viewers your process on no and how you're going to utilize this as motivation? I love this. This might be the best thing that we talk about and that I've heard. So please share. This is awesome.
No, I love talking about all the no's, because that's what, it's a part of my story. You can't run away from it. I've gotten told no, both in dance and in the reporting world. For dance, before I even tried out for the Texans, and when I was living in LA, I was going out and avidly trying out for dance teams. I think I went to Ole Miss. I tried out for their dance team, TCU and SMU. And I just tried out for all these dance teams and I didn't get into any of them. Like, I was told no for those dance teams. And I'm like, okay, what? We'll try NFL. And then the reason I didn't get those college dance teams is because there was something bigger out there for me. And I didn't know it at the time, but I was meant to be a Texans cheerleader and try out big and get in that position. And it was the best 4 years of my life. And now I'm in that phase for reporting. I have applied to probably 1,000 jobs and I've probably gotten 999 rejections, and I save them all because one day I am going to get that dream job because these jobs aren't big enough for me. I know there is something even bigger out there. So I don't use those no's as like, oh, I'm not good enough. Like, why didn't they pick me? Dwell on it kind of thing. I use it as, okay, what's next? And what is bigger and better for me out there?
I'm pausing because the last 3 minutes needs to be replayed. Whoever's listening to this, I might replay that little 2 to 3 minute clip over and over again. I just want to take it back for a second because you got, let's say, rejected or said no to some college cheering teams, dance teams. How do you then go from that? I feel like most people, maybe myself included, would be like, let's go down to high school. Like, how do you go up from there and think that you're like, quote unquote, worthy of the next level when it could have been seen at the time as a failure at that level? How do you then go, how do you believe so much in yourself that there's something bigger when you're said no to at a smaller scale?
I totally agree with that. I think you just have to keep believing in yourself. And I knew for me, I was great at what I did. And there's a lot of other things that go into it. You have to do like an, or not just dancing, you have to do an interview. You have to know a lot about your team and the school. So there's a lot of other factors. There's like a fitness test. So there's so many other elements that go into it. And like I said, kind of earlier, you could be the best dancer out there, but it doesn't mean that you're gonna get a spot just because you're an amazing dancer. There's so many other factors that go into it. And I think that's a big thing, not just for dance or any kind of situation you are in life. There's always gonna be someone better than you. And there's always maybe not like dance worthy, but maybe they have something else they were looking for. So I just thought like, it wasn't my time to be in those schools because like it wasn't meant for me. And I was like, okay, well, maybe this high college thing isn't working because I have to be a professional and they're doing me a favor. So I think you just really have to believe in yourself and it'll all work out if you just keep that belief and you just never use those no's to take you down and just put you back up.
I love this. This is so good. Me and my buddy have a game for who can get the most no's wins, because
I
it
love
seems
that.
Like whoever gets the most no's eventually is going to win. Like I'm convinced of that.
I know. And when you think about it, like it, when something is handed to you so easy, like it's not as fun. You didn't have to work that hard. I kind of so love true. The challenge.
I love that you love it. And I have to say too, just, I think some people maybe like, if you're looking at, like we mentioned social media, it looks like, and maybe on mine too, like here's this, like in your situation, this beautiful young woman, like it's probably just easy for her. Like she's getting, but it's like you grinded probably harder than anyone I've spoken to. And like you keep going and share with us now. So the transition from NFL cheerleader to what you're doing now and how that came about and what you're up to, because this is just, you're just getting started.
Yes, for sure. So I was fortunate enough to do NFL cheer when I was in college, and I was doing both at the same time. And I had so many great experiences. I won a USO tour. I was a Pro Bowl cheerleader. So I like literally did everything. And I was in college at the time, which was great. I got my undergrad in 3 years. So I was like, you know what? We're going to stay an extra year and just get my master's. Like I would have been in school either way. So it ended up being COVID year. So I busted out my master's in a year. Like I wasn't really doing anything. That, studying for school and running.
You're such a badass. You're like, you gotta, I hope you give yourself a ton of credit because you're a beast, but go ahead. Keep going.
Thank you. Yeah. Yep. So I ended up getting my master's, and then after my master's, I ended up retiring from the Texans and I moved out to Arizona. And then I was like, wait, I'm not done cheering. I'm going to try out for the Cardinals. I did my 5th year with the Arizona Cardinals out in Arizona, and I was working for the radio station out in Phoenix. I was doing all the traffic out there. But along my college journey and all during NFL cheerleading, I was also doing tons of internships. I was at ESPN Radio. I was an internship at the local news station, Fox 26. I got myself into Texas high school football, which I'm still a reporter at. And I was able to get that position because I sent them a cold email. I found the owner. I literally just sent a cold email. And at the time, they only did digital stuff. So they only wrote articles. They didn't have a reporter. So I sent them an email and said, "You need a reporter and I'm your girl. When are you hiring me?" And they came back in like a week and they hired me. So I think that's another like tip. If you can't get past the gatekeepers, you find their email and tell them why you should be the one. And I do that a lot for a lot of other jobs and I've been very successful with it. So I just think going directly to the source is how to do it. And then I just have been doing that. And then I fell into play-by-play for baseball. So that's my big things right now. I'm a high school reporter for Texas high school football. And then this spring, I am a baseball play-by-play commentator for all the junior colleges out here.
Oh, this is, I mean, just to take it back to that cold email, like the word that comes to my mind is like bold. I mean, that's a bold move.
It's bold.
But wouldn't have done it, it would have never happened. Like you had to. I like you do such a great job of being, and this is just my perspective, and I'm sure listeners would agree, of being confident in yourself but not arrogant at all. And I think it's amazing. There's like such a fine line there, and I love that you, because you wouldn't be where you are if you were not confident. And I think you also would not be where you are if you're arrogant, because people wouldn't want to work with you. So kudos to you for blind emailing and just not care. Like, what's the worst that's going to happen? Either they ignore it or say no, right?
Right. Most of the times they'll just ignore you. You got to take your shot. If you want something, you go to the source. And I do like how you said, like, I am very confident, but I'm also like humble, because I really think I have the success that I've had is because I've had a lot of great mentors, because they were willing to help me, because I was willing to learn. And I was just very nice to everyone, like from the bottom up. And I just think that goes a long way. When you're nice, it'll be in your favor, because there's unfortunately not a lot of nice people in like the broadcasting industry or in life. There are a lot of people that are just not going to be nice to you. And I just think if you're very kind-hearted and you don't use that as getting like taken advantage of, but you know what you want, then it'll go a long way.
I think that's a great takeaway. My dad always used to say, he still says, kill them with kindness. Like, just keep bringing the kindness, because it does. It wins long term. I think that's just such a recipe for success. So I love hearing this. And tell us about your pot. I mean, it's just, I'm reading your resume and I'm like, this could be an 80-year-old person giving all the things you've already done by the time you're only in your early 20s. So what's, first off, I love the name of the podcast, Sideline Attraction. Tell us about it and why you started it and what it's all about.
So yes, the name Sideline Attraction, I always love that name because I was a cheerleader. And then when you're kind of a sideline attraction, when you're a reporter too, nowadays they are getting more females on the sidelines. So I was like, that's the perfect name for a podcast for me, especially. And I started it because of all those no's that I was getting in life. And then a lot of the reason was because I didn't have enough experience. So I was like, I'm going to make my own experience. I'm going to get my own guest on here. I'm going to make it a whole show. And I called it Sideline Attraction. I do it all. I'm a one-woman show. I do all the editing. I do all the promoting. I schedule. It's a lot of hard work, but I was fortunate enough to learn all this stuff in college and also trial and error. I'm still learning along the way. And basically to get my guests, I just reach out on Twitter, Instagram. I do have some friends that were in the sports industry, but basically the Sideline Attraction is about getting to know athletes beyond the stats, or even now I've branched into like cool people that are successful and just getting to know them more. So you'll want to follow their stories when they are big success stories in sports, and just getting to know them personally. So then you can cheer them on and whatever they do in life.
I love it. And you're putting them out. How often are you putting out episodes?
Right now, weekly. Yep. So I have a weekly episode. They drop on Thursdays.
And you're doing the whole thing yourself.
Yes.
I love the whole I mean, it takes it to another level of if you get enough no's and you, the workaround is, oh, okay. You want to keep telling me no, I'll just create my own and get my own audience and do it that way.
Yep. It's I was taking matters into my own hands.
I mean, you are a freight train. You're a freight train. Like you're like a freight train that's just going to keep going no matter what. And I love that.
I appreciate it. Yeah, yeah. I think hard work, you can't beat it. It all pays off in the end.
I totally agree. So Sideline Attraction is the name of the podcast. And I got to hear just because I know there's a lot of runners that listen to this, myself included. For those that don't know, Taylor ran the Houston Marathon, right? The
Marathon. Mm-hmm.
Which when this comes out, it'll have been like maybe like a month ago. But tell us, you've run 4 marathons and look at your face. Like I can't wait to hear. What was the goal coming into the Houston Marathon? Did you have one?
Yes. So my goal going into the Houston Marathon was to run it in 3:30. I wanted to qualify for Boston. That's the qualifying time. I actually ran my third marathon in December, and I did that the first week of December. I got 3:35. So I was like, okay, well, we're in reach now. My first marathon, I think I did first and second marathon, it was around like 3:50. So it was a bigger stretch. But when I got 3:35, I was like, okay, we're close. We're getting closer. So I went in mind with the 3:30 and I ended up getting 3:33, but I was probably upset for 2 seconds because for all the runners are listening, running a marathon is mental game and physical. Of course, it's 26 miles. Most people don't run. I mean, even drive 26 miles. So I think at that point I was just like, I just got to finish this. Who cares about the time? I'm going to be proud just walking through the finish line. And I love marathons and I just appreciate all the people that come out. Houston was very special because I was at home and I have a lot of family here. So I had basically my whole family along the course, my grandpa and my mom, they were calling it Tour de Marathon. They were on their bikes and they were going basically around the whole course and following me around. So this one was this fourth one was so special, being able to have so much family and so many people cheering me on. So I think that was able to be a reason why I got my PR. And it was just so nice to have everyone out there cheering. And it was a big turnout. I think there was like 30,000 runners. So that's cool. Big.
That's like the same size as Pittsburgh. I mean, that's a big marathon. Okay, so just to break that down, because I think this is fascinating. You ran the fastest marathon you've ever run. And at the same time, you quote unquote did not hit your goal of 3:30. So for the people listening, watching, and I'm including myself, that you set a goal and you stretch and you do the best you've ever done, but you don't hit the goal. How do you, I mean, like, I love how you said that. For 2 minutes, you were like, well, that stinks, but then you got over it. Is there a process of how you get over that and to not beat yourself up over, well, like we were joking, if I didn't go to the bathroom once, maybe I would have got 3:29. Like how do you process that?
Yeah, it's always, I'm my worst enemy because I always say I'm like always want to be perfect. That's perfectionist in me. So not getting that goal made me upset. But then when you look at it, like I did get my best time. I still had a success. We still ran 26.2. I had no injuries, knock on wood. I was feeling great, just a little sore. And I just think that I had it, that I'm still going to run more. So I'm like, I have more opportunities. Like I'm young. I'm going to run more marathons. I have more opportunities to run faster. And this was just something that I did that was better than my last one. So as long as I'm getting better each time, I should be proud of myself because I am getting better. Like you're getting, proving your times. And it's, I mean, a lot of people don't understand. If you're a runner, you understand, but shaving off like 3 minutes of your time, that's a lot, especially when you're tired and it's at the end, they're like, oh, you can do it. Just like 3 minutes. I'm like, it is 3 minutes of, but as a runner, you have to shave a lot of time off your pace. So I just think it's like, I couldn't be upset with myself because I did something so great. And anything in life, you just got to take those little victories because eventually that big end goal you'll accomplish. And then that you'll look back and that'll be easy.
That's exactly right. And I love how you say, cause it's so true. If a non-runner hears like 3:33, they're like, why didn't you just kick it up a notch the last mile and a half? It's like, well, I already
All the
ran
time.
20
Yeah, they're like, you could have done it. You just 3 minutes more. I'm like, okay. No, you go try to do that.
Just gonna say, tell them you go run 3:29. You know what? I'm thinking about themes throughout this whole conversation too, and I want to give you a lot of credit for this. When we were talking about the cheerleading, you brought it up, or our dance team, NFL, you brought it up. You brought it up again with marathons. It seems like you do a really good job of it's Taylor versus Taylor, not you against the world. And I mean, is there a way you can help? And maybe it's like the FOMO mentality. You don't seem like you have that at all. Is there a takeaway you can give people that are looking on social media, seeing that person that looks like they have a great life, and then they get jealous, or they're like, how do I get that? How do you keep it you versus you and not get sucked into the vortex of wishing you had somebody else's life or competing against them?
I think nowadays with social media, it's really hard not to judge yourself and compare yourself to others. But you got to know that yourself, like, you're one of one. You're one of a kind. You came into this world for a purpose. So I think you just got to believe in you. For me, I've always been very into Taylor. Like, I don't know. I guess it's just my personality. I've very been self-disciplined. So I always just want to be my best. And it's always just been my mentality, my motivation. I'm my biggest motivation. And I just think that you can't get caught up. Like, don't get me wrong, I've seen people like get jobs over me. I'm like, oh, I could have done that. But like, no, they earned that position where they are. They were meant to do that. So I just think that you just got to believe in yourself, because you are one of a kind, and you just got to realize what you bring differently in someone else then, because everyone is so special and everyone can bring out something else that someone else can't. So you just got to find what makes you stand out above the rest and then use that to your advantage.
Oh, I like it. Find your uniqueness and then use it to your advantage. You've done an amazing job of that. And you've brought up self-discipline a couple of times. Is there, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'll put you on the spot. Is there one, or more than one habit that you need to make sure you do to keep the discipline going? Like, is there an anchor, or is there something that daily you'll do no matter what?
Just like a daily thing that I like to do.
Yeah, that helps you stay disciplined or keep your mindset strong or anything in that space.
I definitely have to get a morning workout in. I
Me
have
too.
To do that. I mean, if I don't get my workout in, I am not a functioning human. So I have to get up early and do my workout, because I will not be a happy person if I don't get my workout in.
I'm the same. I'm the exact same. I'm a different human being. I love how you said it. I'm not a functioning human. It's a good
I'm
way
not.
To say it.
It's so funny. Like, even if my parents happen to call me before I get my workout in, they're like, oh my gosh, go work out. You're a beast.
All right, wait, let's paint a scenario. You have to get a morning workout in for the rest of the day to be good. Let's say, here's the scenario. You normally would work out whatever the time is. Now you have a meeting at 7 a.m. Will you get up at 4:30, 5, whatever, just to get it in to make sure your day's anchored?
Absolutely, absolutely. I will get up as early as I can to get in a workout, but especially for my hosting job. It's starting up in February. I host for Showstoppers Dance Competition. We were just talking about that. But our call time is 7:30. We have to be all dressed and ready to go. So those weekends, I wake up at 4 a.m. and I go work out. And then I have to get all dolled up. And all my other staff members, they think I'm absolutely insane. But I think it's like, they don't get it. I prioritize my workout, and I know that I will be a better human if I get my workout in. So they don't have to understand, because that's what works for me. And I just do what was best for Taylor, you know, self-discipline.
You know what? That's a great point. And I love how you said they don't have to understand, because I think a lot of times, maybe myself included, it's like, you want them to understand, but it's like, no, they're on their own journey. I'm on my own journey. That's maybe they're at their best if they don't, you know, work out until later in the day or whatever their routine is, but you know what makes you at your best. And you're going to keep doing that.
I think that's a big thing that I've had to work on myself is I'm a people pleaser, and I've just had to learn in all my avenues that I'm in is that you're not going to please anyone, or not anyone, everyone. You're not going to please everyone. There's always going to be someone that doesn't like you, and you just got to accept it because you can't be for everyone. And you just got to know that you can't please everyone, whatever you do. And I've learned that in the fitness industry. I do spin classes and instructor for Hot Works, but not everyone's going to like you. There's going to be those trolls that throw out those comments, but it's okay. The majority will like you, but you just got to come to grips that not everyone will like you. And you just have to tune out what our people are saying, because most likely they're just jealous. Like when you see those negative comments or just those little like barks that come at you, it's probably because they have their own insecurities and they're trying to make themselves feel better and lift themselves up. So you just got to eliminate the chatter and just go out there and just, you know, be your best self and just ignore all the haters out there.
Oh, I love it. I don't know who said this. It was not me, but somebody said, you'll never find a hater doing better than you. Mm-hmm. And it's so true. Like if it's somebody that's lifting you up, like a mentor is not going to tell you to not take the risk or like do something you love, but a hater who's probably not doing better than you is going to try to pull you down. I mean, that's well said. I love this. This is so good. All right. Last question is, what are you most grateful for? And it could be in any area of life, wherever you want to go with it. Obviously, no wrong answer. But yeah, what are you most grateful for right now as you sit here?
Wow, that's a great. I think I'm most grateful for my family. This is probably a very typical answer, but I really couldn't have done it without my family. I am so blessed that I have two very loving, supporting parents and have supported me in everything I do. Like even like as a cheerleader and sacrificing a lot of my time for all the fun stuff and being able to just work, and they've always had my back and always supported me. So I'm just so grateful for them. And even just my extended family too. Like I know they don't really get it, but they will always support me along the way. And my brother, he's awesome too. It doesn't get better than family, and I couldn't have done it without their help and their love. And I just am so grateful for them.
Well said, and well said again that they may not get you, but they support you. That's cool. Cause my family's very similar to that. Like they're not into the same stuff, but they'll support if I'm going to go do something crazy. It's like, okay, we'll support him, even though we think he's a little nuts.
Totally. And most times they don't know where I am. They're like, what state are you in now? You're always somewhere.
I like that.
Keeping up with Taylor is pretty hard because I'm always everywhere.
But you're always everywhere. And I think maybe one of the words is alignment. You've aligned with what you love. And like maybe you're doing seven different things, but it seems like you love all seven of them. So why not?
Yep. I have my hats in a million places, but I make sure to dedicate like whatever I'm doing in the moment is to put all my energy and effort to what I'm doing in that moment. So I do have a lot of things going on, but there are like kind of scattered out because people are like, how can you do it all? Not all my jobs are happening at the same time. Like they're very spread out. I'm able to put my focus and 100% on what I'm doing at that moment. So that's what I have really had to learn, is just focus on the moment and not get ahead and think about what's next.
You dropped some big time bombs on us today. Focus on the moment. We talked about gratitude. I love the rejection story and getting the no's. This is all so, and please share, because your social media is equal parts entertaining and uplifting and energizing. And then you get some great nuggets in there too. So where can people, we'll put it in the show notes too, but where can they find you on social media?
Yes, social media is just another like job in itself, but I'll make it easy for you guys. It's my name, Taylor, TayLor, last name, Ahrens, Ahrenz. One word, no capital letters. And I think that's the same for my Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok. So I'm on all of it.
We will link that all in. Are those the best ways for people to follow the Taylor journey?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm actually getting into YouTube now as well. So I'm trying to do more of that and put all my broadcasting on there. So I think Instagram's probably my favorite source, but you can reach out to me on any of them because I think all of them, I'm actively on all of them.
I love it. And for those that this whole conversation full circle, I blind DM'd Taylor and now we're chatting about personal growth and your story. So ask, just keep asking and it don't let the no's discourage you. I love it. Like this whole message and your story, while there's a long way to go because you're so young, it's amazing to see. And I appreciate this conversation. I think it's going to help out a lot of people, including myself, when I rewatch it back.
Yes, well, I appreciate you. I appreciate you reaching out. This has been so much fun. I love being on podcasts because I know what it's like being on the other side. It's so much hard work and dedication, and getting guests is can be hard sometimes. So I understand it. So I'm very thankful that I was able to be your guest today.
Well, I'm thankful to have you on, and don't forget to check out Sideline Attraction. Check out Taylor's social media. I don't want to spoil any surprises, but it is fun to watch. And you have a comedic timing with showing your life, and it's so good. And
It's a
just
lot of
congrats on
dancing.
all. Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. So congrats on all your success, and thanks again for coming on. This is great.
Yes, thank you guys. I appreciate you. Feel free to go on my Instagram if you have any questions, just DM me and I love to help out others. So thanks you guys.
I love that. Yeah, definitely reach out. And thank you everybody for listening and or watching. We'll see you next week with another guest. Thanks again, Taylor. Keep crushing it out there.
Of course, thank you. You as well.
Thanks for listening. Please subscribe to the podcast and leave a comment if you enjoyed the show. To follow on social media, at Matt Scaletti on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, and LinkedIn. Feel free to shoot me a message, reach out. I'd love to hear feedback, and wishing you an amazing rest of your week.